Hello, this is Tim Wirtz. This is session 3 of Sitting in the Kingdom, exploring direct awakening through the parables of Jesus. So if you've been with us previously, you know what we're doing here. We are making the assumption, I think it's a pretty safe assumption, that Jesus was fully awakened, that he had a unitive experience with God, the creator, the creative force of the universe, oneness, whatever you want to call it, pure consciousness, awareness, all the above, plus more. But he had this relationship with God, and he had this spiritual experience, and he continued to tell people what he referred to as the gospel, the good news, which was, hey, people, you don't have to keep waiting. And he had two things. He kind of had a good news, bad news things for everybody. The bad news is what you think is the Messiah, the one who's going to come and lead you to kick some butt and regain your kingdom as far as a material, territorial kingdom, kick the Romans out, and you know, make Israel great again. That's not what the kingdom's all about. You know, so we've been waiting for so many hundreds of years. That's not it. That's the bad news. But the good news is that the kingdom is within you, within your groups, and it's available now, right? So it's here. And all you have to do, he used the word, or at least the gospel uses the word repent, which is Greek metanoia, which can be translated into you need to repent, you need to change your heart and mind, you need to see the world a different way, you need to have a paradigm change, perhaps. That would be a word they would never use back then, but I don't think it's a far stretch to think that's what Jesus was telling people to do. So, okay, so what was his message? The kingdom is now. That's the good news. So what is this kingdom of God? Also, he'll refer to it as kingdom of heaven and also eternal life. So what is this promise? What is he trying to share? Well, we discussed in previous sessions that we don't know exactly, because when he spoke about the kingdom, he uses, more times than not, he uses these things called parables, which are not very descriptive. They're short little stories, if you will, but you've got to work with them, or they have to work on you. I think, as we mentioned before, the key thing is to let them work within us. And perhaps they are pointers to the kingdom. You know, they're actually there to try to point to it. Because as we know from any type of spiritual practice, whether it be Christianity, Buddhism, any mystical practices anyway, describing the ineffable is very difficult. So it must be the same situation with Jesus. Thus, he used parables. And what we're doing in the class is to work with the parables, discuss the parables, explore the parables, understand what they could be telling us, what they could be pointing us to, kind of retrieve, extract the essence, if you will, the scent, the posture, the characteristic of the parables. And then we do guided meditations based on those particular postures or characteristics that the parables are pointing us to. So that's the gist of what we're doing here. I think it's pretty good. Obviously, Christianity's got its own version of meditation, where they call contemplation. Father Thomas Keating, who passed away recently, God bless his soul. He was a great, great being. We're so thankful to have had him with us for those many years. But he had centering prayer, right? Thomas Merton. And there's many other Christian contemplatives. But I think these are a little bit different, what we're trying to do here, because we're trying to work with the parables themselves and take postures, similar to what Craig and Jeff does in Open to the Infinite.